it's locally owned,
it's Papa Roach.
Organically grown,
it's Papa Roach.
Your heart will warm,
it's Papa Roach.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Papa Roach.
And right now we're joined by the mayor of Carrboro, Lydia Lavelle, to help us start the hour. How are you?
Good, good.
It's been a busy week. So let's first talk about something that happened a few days ago, which was the Pride Piper Walk that took place at the Art Center on Tuesday before the board meeting. How did that go?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun because the first Tuesday in June, every June, I issue a proclamation recognizing LGBT Pride Month. And several weeks ago, local photographer Don Young got a hold of me and was telling me about a project that he was going to be having all throughout the Triangle really in June. Called Artists United, and spoke specifically about the fact that Michael Brown was going to be doing this painting of Joe Herzenberg. And, you know, part of the discussion was, well, of course, it certainly would be in Carrboro in June, hanging in Carrboro, but how to introduce it? You know, what's a grand way to kind of do
right,
it?
Right, right.
Somehow we started talking, and the idea of a Pride Piper Walk came up, and we both just jumped on it. We thought it was a great idea, you know. And so, you know, anything like that, you know, you try it in Carrboro and you hope it's well received. And fortunately it was. The weather cooperated. We had lots of, you know, several dozen people gathered in front of the Art Center, had a great little musical group like walking along with us. And that's part of what made it so fun, because if you didn't see us coming, you heard us coming. And we were led by Rainbow Ram, Stephen Ray Miller's colorful ram that is at the Chapel Hill, at the Orange County Visitors Bureau in Chapel Hill. So anyway, it was quite a sight. And then when we got there to the location and heard some really kind of moving words from Michael Brown about how he knew Joe and some research he did on Joe. And then when he, you know, pulled away the sheet that was covering up the painting, it was just perfect. I mean, it's Joe. And then one of a saying of his, which I don't have right in front of me, but it's kind of in rainbow stripes. It's really beautiful. I urge anyone who's out and about tonight walking around Carrboro to stick their head in the Century Center and see it during the art walk. And if not, come by sometime this month and see it.
And Joe Herzenberg is one of the first, right, openly gay elected official in the South and one of the first in the entire country. Right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Definitely the first in North Carolina and then one of the first in the South. And he passed away, I think, in 07. Mm-hmm. So it's been several years since he passed away. But so many people still remember him and have stories about him, and his influence on many of us, you know, still carries on as shown by that outpouring of support and, you know, the stories that came out of that.
How many people were taking part in the walk, do you know?
You know, there were several dozen. I thought that we had about 30 or 40. But I understand as we went on, a few more people like just jumped in.
That's how you know it's a good walk, when you're adding people instead of...
Right, yeah. People just joined, and then I saw in the paper, I think it said 70 or so, 75. I'm not quite sure, but I know it was a pretty large crowd and pretty fun for a somewhat spontaneous, you know, walk idea. Mm-hmm. So
that's awesome. So this entire month is LGBT Pride Month. Other things going on in Carrboro to mark the occasion? I know the rainbow flags are up at Town Hall.
Yeah, just the general era of festivities.
Right.
I did that night also read a proclamation. I also read it at Carrboro Town Hall. We also have the flags up at Town Hall. But as I said, the exhibit that opens tonight in the Carrboro Century Center that has the picture of Joe, there also are several other photographs there celebrating our LGBT community. Some of them are by my wife, Alicia Stemper, but I know there are some others as well. And so that will be, of course, available throughout the month for people to go and visit. And I think, you know, one of the things that I realized as I was reading the proclamation, because I always kind of do a little history, next year, Aaron, next June will be the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to, perhaps, as you just said, trying to come up with a month of kind of events and work it around, you know, some kind of way to celebrate community-wide, you know, the 50 years of the start of the civil rights movement for gay rights.
That would be really cool. And it's worth noting that, I mean, the proclamation was on Tuesday. This kind of came right on the heels of the Supreme Court's decision in Masterpiece, which was on Monday, and that was kind of a disappointing decision for LGBT people across the country. But as we were talking before the hour started, not a devastating decision necessarily in terms of the way that the ruling was written and in terms of the scope of the ruling. going and still kind of a jumping off point for saying, okay, this was a disappointment, but the fight goes on. We can still look forward with optimism because we're making progress towards the future.
Yeah, yeah, and I did. I referenced that in the proclamation because I always reference June as the month where we've had so many victories. And, mm-hmm. and there was, you know, a great disappointment that the Supreme Court missed an opportunity to kind of make a statement with regard to this, you know, the enforcement of non-discrimination rights with regard to people with, you know, sexual orientation, balancing, I guess, religious freedom. This was not the case for them to do it. And I think anyone who really studied the oral argument could kind of see that there was a possible way out and that this one could be limited solely to its facts because mm-hmm. there was some egregious language given or spoken, I should say, at the Civil Rights Commission early on in the matter. Of course, Justice Ginsburg and Justice Sotomayor would still say, well, even given that, the evidence was still, it was almost a prima facie case of discrimination.
Right.
But nonetheless, kicked back on its facts to be contained to just this situation. A lot of kind of instructive language, I think, to indicate that any case that does come forward needs to be certain that, you know, everyone's rights are greatly respected and arguments are fully made at the lower level before they come back to the Supreme Court. But again, I think that the main problem was, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
There? You know,
yeah.
How do you allow some form of, you know, discrimination, but not open the door completely? And
yeah.
so that's, I think, what, you know, legal scholars have been talking about before and it will continue to talk about because there actually are several more in the pipeline mm-hmm. to go to the Supreme Court. I'm kind of exploring those this summer, learning
yeah.
more about them. But I know one has to do with flowers, you know, at a wedding. I think another one has to do actually with a funeral home that refused to provide services for a person who had transitioned. And so, you know, I think that it's easier to see religious objection when it revolves around marriage,
mm-hmm.
around, you know, the sacrament, if you will, of marriage. But I don't know, just how far out do you go
yeah,
with what different
yeah.
kind of actions? And then, you know, how do you balance that?
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to see what it's like the next time the court takes up a case.
And I think one of the things that I think people were worried about was that the Supreme Court was going to issue this big sweeping ruling in favor of the Bakers and essentially say that if you make any kind of religious objection at all, then that somehow trumps anti-discrimination laws and you can do whatever you want. But as much as the headlines were saying, well, the Supreme Court sides with the Baker 7-2, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, every single opinion that got handed down, so this is essentially a unanimous ruling the other way, that religious objections don't automatically trump anti-discrimination laws, right?
Don't automatically, correct.
Right.
Yeah, don't automatically. It's interesting if you, it really was a 7-2. But when you parse out the concurrences and the dissenting opinions, it's still kind of a 5-4 if
mm-hmm.
you dig a little deeper into reading. Like Gorsuch, I think, wrote an opinion maybe with Alito, and then, of course, Sotomayor. And Kagan actually was in on with someone, and then Sotomayor and Ginsburg were the only two that fully dissented. It seemed to me that the only two that were completely that were in agreement with the decision but also didn't opine otherwise were Justice Kennedy and Justice Roberts.
Roberts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting too. They're just kind of, you know, they didn't want to say anything else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle. So let's turn to Carborough news. 203 South Greensboro Street project is about to get underway, and there's a public input session, several public input sessions, right, coming up next week and then beyond, right?
Yes. Yes. And so this 203 South Greensboro is the building that the town is going to be building that's going to contain the library, the mm-hmm. Southern Branch Library. And so we realized the other night, we keep referring to it as 203 South Greensboro. In fact, some of the publicity says the 203 Project. And we realized that people really don't know what that is. So
right,
we want
right.
to make sure the community understands that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this great building that we're going to build, the first one in over 100 years. And so we're having our first public input session next Wednesday, June 13th at Carborough Town Hall from 7 to 9. And so, again, this building's going to hold the library. It's going to hold some programming for the Arts Center. It's going to have some of our recreation and park offices. It's going to have WCOM and some other things. And we really want the public to come out and give their input on this project. We're very excited about it. the architect we chose, Perkins and Will, that evening, they're going to present the project scope. They're going to talk about the process. The timeline is a rather tight timeline. I want to go into that with you. They're going to summarize also the parking study we had completed the previous year or two and how they want to go about trying to address parking and transportation, forms of transportation, you know, walking, biking, bus, but also how parking is going to be handled on the site, because that's really a concern of a lot of folks. And I think that evening, they're also going to discuss potential names for this project to be sure people can understand it better and of the center itself. But I want to make sure that that people understand this timeline. This kickoff meeting then, where we hope to see a lot of folks, again, is on June 13th. And then in the summertime, they're going to have two engagement sessions. Like these will follow up on that public process kickoff and go dig in a little deeper into the ideas that come out of the public process. The first of these will be on July 23rd and the second one on August 4th. And the reason they scheduled two of them, and both of those will be, they'll be somewhat duplicative, like you don't need to go to both of them.
Right.
But they wanted two different dates so that with the summertime and people's schedules.
One of them's on a Saturday, right?
Yeah,
one
of them is on, I think that second date is on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. But this is really to make certain that people have ample opportunity to be able to kind of participate and discuss, you know, some of the findings of the first workshop and focus on some of the challenges. I mean, the site has challenges, but there's also great opportunity with this, and we're really tremendously excited about it because our hope is to come out of it in early September with reports back to us and to the county, the Board of County Commissioners, and to be able to, you know, go ahead, start with our schematic designs so that by mid-October, we're, you know, well into the schematic design, and hope to finish that up by the end of the year so that sometime next spring we'll be able to break ground.
Yeah. So what are the decisions that still have to be made on this? I know there's still a lot in the works, but a lot's already been decided, right?
Yeah. So some of the questions they'll be asking really are, how do people envision the look of this gathering space, for instance, you know, and what programs, hearing what programs we're going to have that are going to be there, how do we want that to look? How do we want that to feel? You know, what kind of lighting? What kind of maybe architectural look? What kind of features do we want in this building? And honestly, you know, a huge part again will be parking. You know, are we talking about? We're assuming there'll be some kind of parking underneath. We're assuming there'll be some kind of parking beside it.
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of any structure parking or not? Part of this depends too on what we can secure nearby for the facility. Additionally, the way that it will interface with with the way that Roberson kind of goes between it and the back of OpenEye and the back of Acme,
right,
and the back of, you know, how is it going to interface down that street to make that more pedestrian friendly and that more bike friendly so that people are able to get around very easily? Because, you know, this will be not just for, you know, this will be for everyone, for little kids and senior citizens, and we want to make it so it's safe for people to get around.
Awesome. So that's the first meeting is Wednesday the 13th, right, from 7 to 9 p.m., and that's going to be at Town Hall. So everyone invited to meet the designers, get info, take part in the conversation, get your input in on this. And then upcoming meetings in July and then again in August, which we'll get the word out about. So we're speaking with Carper Romero, Lydia Lavelle. That's not the only thing happening on Greensboro Street either. We've also got the street closure coming up this summer so that the roundabout can be built by South Green, too.
Exactly. And so that those improvements start on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday, June 11th, that part of South Greensboro Street will be closed. And understand, my understanding is that there will still be a gravel walkway, be a safety fence around a gravel walkway where people will still be able to, you know, walk through and ride their bikes through or you know, walk their bikes through or whatever. So you'll still be able to get around that way. Transit routes have already been moved to accommodate this, so there's no issue there with people having to come up with a new transit route for these couple of weeks. So travelers, you know, West Main Street, Merritt Mill Road, just kind of be thinking ahead, and we've learned from the previous time we did this, and my understanding is we've worked really closely with state officials to have signage at the appropriate places to try to catch people so that people don't get caught off guard. And according to our website, the road is scheduled to reopen on the 24th. Could perhaps be a little earlier depending on how fast, you know, things get done. But really important for people to understand that Downtown Carrboro is still open for business. It's still very easy to get around downtown. Just stay alert, you know, watch the speed limit and so on. But all of the businesses, you know, especially in the summertime, those of us who are here when the students leave know it's a little easier to find that free parking
right,
in downtown Carrboro in the summertime. And we are planning a few special events to have, particularly around this area that's going to be dealing with the closure in the summer. So keep an eye out for those. And you know, when you're considering where to go to have your food or your drink or your exercise, come to downtown Carrboro.
And it really is just for a couple of weeks, right? Next end of the month, it'll be done?
It definitely will be. The date is supposed to be early August. Okay. So I guess, Aaron, that's about 2 months.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So beginning of August, it should be back open again.
That's the hope.
All right.
Yes. And I know the timeline is built around, you know, schools, the schools and so on.
Yeah,
But as you and I know, it depends a lot of times on what they find and then weather and so on. But I think that's pretty much what I have heard.
Townofcarrboro.org for more information. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.